And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Voodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa News of PapaNews.com in Santa Rosa, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Susan Barnes of SusanBarnesAuthor.com in Tulsa, Oklahoma, bringing us today's topic on charisma and rootwork. Afterwards, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or rootwork as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at form.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but let's first turn over to our co-host, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi. Nice to hear your lovely voice. I have a request for my chief engineer. For some reason, you have logged me into a show that was broadcast 3 years ago, and I can't get into the chat room.
Oh, no. So, okay, just
could you please fix that for me? Thank you. This is what we have chief engineers for. He opens the door. He wanders in. He takes the mouse. He's doing it as we speak. All right. Well, I've been spending the day making oils and signing books. Kind of a very nice, quiet Sunday morning. It's been nice. Made, road opener oil, and I made prosperity oil. Everything is very copacetic here, except for it's, as my evil stepfather used to say, it's colder than a witch's tit outdoors. And it's just about that cold inside, and I'm sitting right next to the heater, and the backs of my arms are cold. That's how cold it is. So we're not used to this kind of weather, and day after day in California, and our caloric reserves are evaporating into the air. So it's very, very freezing. And but
you
know, we hope for California. And my heart goes out to everybody in Texas. Oh, my God, I hope everyone in Texas is okay.
Mm-hmm.
We've just had so much bad weather out there and in the Midwest. All right, I'm finally in the chat room. That's nice. Okay, well, let me bring in my co-host, Conjurman Ali. How are things with you?
Thanks, Kat. Things are lovely. So you can definitely send the cold down my way if you'd like. We'll take more of it. I'm very much ready for winter weather. I am doing lovely. I'm quite busy, as usual, enjoying the last week of the year. I am running a special, if I can just mention it real quickly on the show, where every year I do yearly readings or annual readings for myself, clients, and whatnot. And it's a geomantic kind of life reading, and it tells you all aspects of your life for the entire year to come. I'm actually going to go back and see my predictions for 2015 and see how that turned out. But this year I'm running a special that if anyone's interested in getting a life reading for or what's called an annual reading or a yearly reading, a geomantic reading, they'll also get a talisman that I've been working on for the past few weeks. It's a Ramal talisman. And it's something that you print out from your computer. It's a paper talisman you fold with you, and you keep it with you for the year. So just an extra little addition or gift for people who are interested in starting 2016 off on the right foot.
Wow, and it's called a Ramal talisman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, all you guys contact Conjurman Ali and let him set you up. I want to say hello to the folks in the chat room. I don't know how many are on the phone, but we've got 31 right now in chat. And among them, Miss Michael, who is promising to upload ZT and warm lap robes. And also we have some folks checking in from Texas, Professor Porterfield. He is okay.
Glad he's okay.
Healing,
yeah.
But he did not get blown away in one of those tornadoes, which is good. Alchemical Artisans Hour says it's unseasonably warm in Maine, and so we have been hearing that the guys who usually get winter have warm weather, and the guys who usually have sunny winters have somehow inherited the cold. Well, you know, who knows what's happening with the weather? It doesn't look good for the entire planet, in my opinion. But you know, I'm not going to be an old Cassandra doom and gloom here. But it just becomes, you know, increasingly strange and out of control. So we're up to 32 now in the chat room, and a lot of them are guests. But the people who I do want to say hi to: Papa Newt, Professor Porterfield, P.S. Haskins, Onyx Star, Nishka, Miss Michael, Madam Samantha, Logan 1965, Jimbo with the silent G. And then there's just a whole bunch of people just labeled guest, 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 guest. Gia, E.F. Still, of course, Ollie, me, Anna Gabriella, Alchemical Artisans Hour, and our own Lucky Mojo Curio Company, who happens to be my dear husband. All right, well, that's where, and the guests, all y'all guests, if you log in, we'd know your names. But, you know, now it's like, you know, it's guest 725, guest 726, guest 729, guest 732, y'all anonymous guests.
And you want
now
all
I wanna,
of those.
Yeah. Register.
And, readings by Evan just showed up, and so did Shalom in Timin. I'm not sure how you're going to pronounce that. Well, I want to bring in our actual guest today. This is the lovely Susan Barnes. And howdy, Susan. How are you doing today?
Hi, Miss Kat. We're doing great. It's rainy up here. And I was telling Nathan and Conjurman Ali that our electricity was going on and off. And we live in a 100-year-old home, so we tried to rush to an office, and rain started pouring into the car. It's raining so bad, and now it's icing up. So I'm glad to be in a nice, warm office. And other than that, doing very well, very busy, and looking for missing people, and that's the type of work I've been doing lately.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
These are people that your clients have lost touch with, and they want you to try to find them, or are they people who are the victims of criminal actions, or what?
Well, it's a family member contacted me, and it's someone who has vanished, and you know, it's not. Mm-hmm. I can't really talk a lot about it, but you know, I have my opinions and things, so we're looking high and low, and you know, pinning things down and that type of work. But it's very interesting. It's probably some of the most interesting work I've ever done. I really like it.
Wow. Well, I know that I've known psychics, and of course everyone hears the stories about the successes and sometimes about the failures. Psychics who find people who are missing and suspected to be the victims of a crime. Mm-hmm. And that can be very disheartening work, but sometimes it can be so accurate. Mm-hmm. And I remember Brother Jeffrey Vanderson, there was a woman who was missing in Washington, D.C., and I don't want to go into the case in detail, but he told me he knew exactly where her body would be found, and he was right. Months later, he was right. He did, and I said, "How did you know that?" And he goes, "I just taught." He didn't do anything to do it. He did no divination. But there's other kinds of people who are missing. I've had some good luck with people who are missing in action. Like, as an example, someone took a child when they were having a custody visit. They kidnapped the child. And the question became, where is the person? We knew they were not the victim of a crime, nor was the child, but the person had gone to cover. And I did some big heavy spell work, and so did the lady herself, who was very gifted and talented herself. And I have to say, what played out, it sounds almost unbelievable. I'm going to tell you, a war broke out in the country where he had taken the child, and the man was not safe, and he had to turn himself and the child over to the American embassy, and then was found.
Wow.
Mm.
What did you do, Miss Kat?
I said, wow, I maybe really shot my wad on that one. You know, that might have
yeah.
been the biggest thing. No, I didn't really want that, but I basically said, he's got to come in. And I will admit, I had kind of envisioned this kind of, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, sort of Cold War spy thriller, and he was going to show up, you know, and it, but it happened.
Oh, my gosh.
It really did happen, yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, he actually put the child on an airplane and sent it to a neutral
oh
country where she could pick the child up. Yeah.
Wow.
So, my God.
Yeah, that was one of those ones, you know, once in a lifetime you go, well,
mm-hmm.
I really
yeah.
have something there. Sad to say, you know, it was a war, and I don't know that I was the only, I mean, obviously, I can't say that I tipped the balance toward war. I just wanted the child back, and maybe
mm-hmm.
I just, it's like, you know, with karate, they say you can take the back of your hand and, you know, the edge of the palm and you can crack a brick. But
mm-hmm.
but as I was always taught in the old comic books, you know, that each thing has a weakness and you
yes.
have to hit just right. And
mm-hmm.
I don't think I started that war. But I think when the war began to be rumbling in
mm-hmm.
the pre-universe, as it were, it was beginning to come into form,
mm-hmm.
I just sort of hit it with that back of my
yeah.
the edge of my palm, and it just cracked in such a way that he ended up taking
mm-hmm.
the child in. So don't look to me to be starting wars. But anyway, that's my missing person story, and I really did it. Yeah.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, exactly. And I might not have been able to do it that way. It might have been something else some other time. But I did
mm-hmm.
have that feeling. Well, so you're finding missing people. What a thing.
Yeah. Also, I have a... I don't know. My mother always had what we call her psychic sniffer, and she could tell if someone was wearing a certain perfume, or she could tell you, she lived in Texas, she could tell you, well, that person in California wears this spice cologne, or this person is doing this, or there's somebody that's dead, or this or that, and
mm-hmm.
she had this sniffer, and I seem to have inherited that, so I can pick up scents from... you know, California or New York or Maryland, Colorado, places like that. And it's the weirdest thing. I'll just get this explosion of a scent, and then it disappears right away. But
that is a sniffer.
Sniffer,
like a dog sniffing.
Oh,
yeah.
Fascinating.
It sounds weird.
That is a gift. That is a real gift. And I'm sure
like,
there's a
thanks,
word for
Mom.
It. Yeah, right. What we might call it, Claire Fragrantia or something. I mean, it's like clairaudience, but it's Claire Sniffiance. Yeah.
Claire olfactory something.
Yeah.
Claire olfactorians. Yeah, there's not a word for that one, but I hear you. Yeah.
Well,
no,
as a perfumer, I know that you have a good sniffer. You must have a good one.
I do have a good sniffer, but I can't claim to have Claire sniffiance, as L Chemical Artisans Hour puts it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't think I have that. I do have some, you know, clairsentience, but that's,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I have clairsniffience. Well, that's an interesting thing that you're up to.
That
now,
growing up on a ranch in Texas, I guess.
Yeah, but you see, now I do have sniff memory. When you say growing up on a ranch in Texas,
mm-hmm.
I immediately thought of a picture of you with a horse, and I immediately thought of the smell of fresh horse poop, which is actually a very nice smell.
It is.
It actually smells good for those who think I'm making it up. It smells good,
mm-hmm.
and I went, ah, there she is, and I could see you with the horse and the you know
that
so
was
that,
me.
But I smelled it.
I used
it.
To clean out the horse stalls for my grandfather.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's not a bad smell either. You're right.
No, it's not. It's actually of all of them, it's pretty good. Well, all righty. Now we have a topic today, and I'm going to. Turn us into that. The topic is hoodoo tips on how to become popular at work, school, and in life. So let's talk a little bit about this. I'm going to kind of introduce it as I always do. How to become popular and why would you want to become popular? It's about developing charisma to a certain extent, but not everybody who's charismatic is loved. They just might be attract attention. Not everybody who's popular is actually physically charismatic. Every once in a while, you know, I listen to National Public Radio and they get on somebody who I just admire the heck out of, you know, a politician, a singer, an artist whose work I'm just fascinated by, a writer. And the person is a garbling, you know, inconsequential verbal disaster. So being popular doesn't always translate to speech. And it doesn't always translate to appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And fame can be made of many fragments.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're talking about is not just social popularity, but advancement in career and school through popularity, maybe finding the right friends. There's a lot of aspects to this. It's not just, you know, become Miss Puerto Rico and everyone will love you.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about, and it's not just about glamour, which is sometimes described as a kind of veneer of beauty that shimmers in front of you and has people thinking of you as glorious. But popularity comes from many, many sources, and each of us has our own way of building it. We think of this sort of thing as not one of the essential, down-home, you know, struggling life conditions, but it is, actually. We do need to be hired. We do need to succeed. And whenever there is competition, being popular and being well-loved will raise you up on the ladder. So it's not just a question of dominating over the competition. It's not just a question of causing the person doing the hiring or the promoting to favor you. Those are different kinds of spells. This is a spell so that you yourself shine and are loved, respected, popular, chosen among the many. So, having said that, let's talk about it with you, Susan. What do you bring to the table as far as spells for charisma, charm, and popularity?
Well, first thing that got me started on this, Miss Cat, is as a kid I was so shy I couldn't even say a sentence to anybody, and my mother was very outgoing, and she would just say, well, just say hi, and I couldn't even do that. And then she would say, well, just start listening to people, just listen, ask them about themselves and their lives, and I realized that's really the key, is to learn and think about the other person. And so many times when I'm coaching people, they're thinking too much about, well, how can I be most popular at school, or how can I be the best liked at work? And that's not what it's about, and that's exactly what you were saying. The other thing is about when the problem, sometimes people can't speak, so I use a lot of deer's tongue in a lot of my spells, and I also use bay leaf, and I use bay leaf in all of my cooking. You can come into my home, and you're going to smell it. I will use High John the Conqueror root, even though I'm a female, and I know people say, well, it's a lot of times it's for a male. But I use it mostly for courage. Angelica, catnip, you know, the cherry, anything cherry-flavored. I serve a lot of cherry-flavored dishes. I learned that actually from Conjure Man Ali, is to give people food. Patchouli. I still love the scent of patchouli, and it was real big back when I was a kid. And for friends, you know, the balm of Gilead buds, the cloves. I love figs, and I give people figs. You know, road opener, the crown of success oil. I use a lot of oils, so I will blend them, and I'll use the crown of success, attraction, look me over. Sometimes I put in some bewitching. And I will... a lot of times to my clients that are very, very shy and want to ask somebody out, I'll say, use some clarity oil to help you choose the right female. You know, a lot of times men, and women too, don't always choose the right person to go out with. So if they have a little clarity oil, Solomon's Wisdom, that helps them see through the facade of the person and into the real heart of the person. So those are some of the things.
You've got quite an arsenal going on there.
Mm-hmm.
I like catnip. It's very charming on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely like deer's tongue for speech. Clove buds are great for getting people on your side, for friendship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've never much used bewitching because, just to be frank and honest, I don't make my personal fame by appearance. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. by, so that's not one that's on my, you know, my rotation list. You know, if I was mm-hmm. a DJ, that's not in heavy rotation with me. However, King Solomon Wisdom mm-hmm. and Crown of Success are ones that I use often mm-hmm. and frequently to make myself seen and heard. That's how I work. Mm-hmm. And everyone works differently. I tend to blend King Solomon Wisdom and Crown of Success together. I prefer somehow to always blend them. I don't know why. They are separate scents, but I just use them together. Mm-hmm. How about you, Ollie? What do you do for popularity?
Oh, you know, I love this topic, I should say. Charisma is something that I love working for. It's also something that I have had to do for myself quite a bit. As Susan talked about, she's quite shy. Most people don't know that I'm actually an introvert and a very extreme introvert in the sense that I like being by myself, surrounded by my books and reading. But I work in a profession, both of my professions, as an academic and as a root worker, that require me to perform, right, to a certain extent, to mm-hmm. roots. And when I tell people, I mean, I remember when I was teaching at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, when I tell people I'm an introvert, they don't believe me. They say, can't be an mm-hmm. introvert. You're so charming. You're so charismatic. Mm-hmm. But that's something I have to work towards and mm-hmm. work for. And one of the things, there's a couple things I want to mention about the nature of charisma. As one, I don't see charisma as popularity. Popularity mm-hmm. is fickle. Popularity mm-hmm. passes. You can be popular one day and unpopular another day.
Mm-hmm.
Popularity is about being the soup du jour, right? What is the thing of the day? Charisma is far more enduring, and it has less to do with how you look or even how you speak, but more about how you make people feel,
mm-hmm.
right? So charismatic people inspire admiration, devotion. They make people feel comfortable, make people open up. These are all attributes of charisma. It's the ability to impress on others. And in the 19th and 18th century, the ideas of charisma were noted to be tied into ideas of magnetic fluid, right? So the ability to project this so-called fluid onto others and get them to be devoted to you. And this kind of, I'm not saying that's how charisma is, but it shows you how people think of charisma, right? It's about your ability to influence people, often in a very positive way. So things that work for me, I mix commanding oil and Crown of Success oil. Commanding oil, a lot of people use that to kind of force people to do what they want, but commanding is very authoritarian. It's about you being a leader. So you mix a little bit of commanding oil with Crown of Success, and people will listen to you. People will hear what you have to say. I'm going to double the deer's tongue recommendation. I think it's fantastic. Eloquence is very strongly tied to charisma. If you can have a sincere, open, and comfortable conversation with someone, you will come off as charismatic, even if you don't feel that you are. So deer's tongue is great. I also want to add calamus into that mix. Fantastic, fantastic. And, of course, John the Conqueror. John the Conqueror is more than just male masculinity. It is charisma. Because John the Conqueror touches this aspect of charisma that isn't often talked about, and that is being blessed, right? Charismatic people are seen as sort of blessed in life. They have this natural, easygoing manner, and they get what they want without much effort. And John the Conqueror is very much like that. John the Conqueror managed to outwit people that were smarter than he was. He just had this kind of luck to him. So adding a John the Conqueror into your favorite cologne and then spritzing that works fantastic. You can also, if you prefer a little bit of a softer touch, you can use a Queen Elizabeth root in your favorite perfume. Spritz that on yourself. It works fantastically. And those are just some of the ways, those mixtures that I use in my own work as well as that I give to my clients.
I'm going to throw in a couple of oddball things now. And I want to first, though, give a big shout-out to Papa Newt, who unheard on this broadcast, or if you listen to it in the archives, is just typing his little fingers off there. he's posting one link after another. Calamus, John the Conqueror Hole, Deer's Tongue, Crucible of Courage Oil. If we mention it, Papa Newt is typing it. And this is why it's a good reason to tune into the show while it's live and take part in the chat room, you can capture the chat room mm-hmm. afterwards using Blog Talk Radio's technology. You can also, if you want to, send a Facebook message to Nagashiva and ask him for the log for any given day. He has most of them in his own archive, and he is trying to post the chat at the forum, at the Lucky Mojo forum. So again, for those who are not familiar with how this system works, we have a website called forum.luckymojo.com, and it has a section on the radio shows, and every radio show has a specific individual date. This one is December 27th, 2015. And at the end of these, Nagashiva is posting the chat logs. So all of the links will be there. Okay? And so thank you, Papa Newt, and thank you, Nagashiva. Okay. So just trying to let people know what we're talking about and why we're going so fast, because they're all going like, well, what about that? What about that? What are you talking about? It's all flowing by in the chat room. Okay? Mm-hmm. Be here. Chat room is now up to 35 people. Welcome. Okay.
Well, we do now, our stream of consciousness on air, Papa
yeah.
Newt, frankly, puts it all together.
Yeah, well, and we got people running behind us, you know, making it all real here in text. So, again, thank you, Papa Newt. Thank you, Nagashiva. And others for asking questions, too. Now, I was going to say another little thing here about popularity versus charisma. I think you're right, Ali. Charisma mm-hmm. is more of an anointing or mm-hmm. A charm, a compelling attractiveness, as one of the dictionaries calls it. Popularity mm-hmm. waxes and wanes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can be popular and then people can hate on you and you mm-hmm. lose popularity, and then you can, you know, keep on being who you are, and eventually you'll get a new group of people who weren't mm-hmm. Subjected to the haterism and the gossip, and mm-hmm. they go, oh, this person's really cool, and the charisma is always there, always working. You see yeah. this in people who were popular in their youth, say as a singer, an actor, a performer,
mm-hmm.
and then suddenly they're in their 80s, and they're popular again.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, and I could use a few examples. I'll just use the example of Betty White as one
mm-hmm.
that I think we all know about. Here was a lady who, when I was young, this gal was on live TV every afternoon in L.A., and she was singing about Dr. Ross dog food, and she mm-hmm. was gorgeous, and she put skin lotion on her hands and showed that her hands were smooth right on live TV. And I just loved this lady.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I didn't mm-hmm. hear about her for years after that. And then suddenly, oh, she's everybody's darling on a TV show. Then again, didn't hear about her for years. Oh, now she's so beloved because she's got a salty tongue and she's old,
uh-huh.
right? It's her charisma. She always will have the charisma, even though her popularity waxed and waned.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to me, charisma has more to do with working from the center outward. In other words, mm-hmm. Calamus is
yeah.
very charming and powerful. But something we mentioned earlier, John the Conqueror, is more from the inside. Queen Elizabeth
oh, yeah.
Root, more from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to take some time to center yourself. The suggestion about magnetism, personal magnetism, was made. And I'm going
mm-hmm.
to recommend that people take a look at some of the writings of William Walker Atkinson and some
oh,
of the
I
other
love
new
Atkinson.
Yeah, some mm-hmm. of the other new thought writers of the early 20th century who talk about developing your personal magnetism and what you can do with it. This goes outside of hoodoo and yet had an influence
mm-hmm.
on hoodoo and on all forms of culture. It influenced everybody at that time. It's still
mm-hmm.
very valuable knowledge to have. And one of the things that I learned, and again, this sounds very, you know, strange, but if you actually physically enact a gesture that you want
mm-hmm.
to have enacted, you can have that gesture enacted. There's many, many examples of this. But if you, for instance, want someone to come to you, don't just sit there with your hands in your lap and your
mm-hmm.
head cast down going, gee, I hope Jimmy will call. But mm-hmm. sit up straight, extend your hand towards your telephone, or
mm-hmm.
wherever you're going to have him call from, or through the door, if you want him to come through the door, and you say, come on in, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're manipulating, literally manipulating the air around you with your hands, with your gestures.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that I know works very well, if you want to run faster, try to dream of running fast. It will actually improve
mm-hmm.
your running speed. I've done it. So there is a lot to do with the mind when we talk about charisma as well, and not just spells. Okay, it's a lot of it is in your mind, and that's a fantastic aspect of this kind of work, of root work, that really goes down to a more spiritual level. All right, having thrown that out.
Can I just say something about Atkinson? Along the same lines of the recommendation you made, the two things that shouldn't be underestimated in developing one's ability to be charismatic or one's charisma is gaze, the way you look at someone.
Yes.
Right? It can convey a great deal of emotion, sincerity, as well as opening people up. Turning to speak to someone in a group. This is a little practice you can do to control conversations, and it comes directly from Atkinson, is using your gaze to tell who's allowed to speak and who isn't. So, for example, let's say someone is talking, and it's you want it to go to someone else specifically. You turn and you look at that person, giving them a mental cue, you're up next. And when you turn, you also signal to that person, your time is done. You practice a little bit in a group, and eventually you'll develop the ability to control the flow of the conversation, determining who speaks and who doesn't. And that creates a little nucleus around you, right? You become the center of that conversation, and that's a form of charisma. So the gaze is very important, how you look at someone. Also conveying emotions, right? Smiling through the eyes. Letting people feel that warmth is very, very important for charisma. The second aspect, which can be tied directly to root work, is touch. Something that is very much overlooked, and we are, as a society, becoming more and more, we're making our personal boundaries less permeable.
Mm-hmm.
We're uncomfortable when people come close to us, we're uncomfortable with touch. Even the way we walk in a city now, we walk with our headphones on, or I should say most people, I don't, and without any contact. And so the act of touch is both psychologically effective, right? It makes people go, oh, wow. But you can also add an oil. Let's say before you wake up, you know, before you leave your house, you anoint your hands with Crown of Success or with Influence Oil or Traction Oil or Commanding Oil, one of these oils that you can use. And then as you're talking to someone, you lightly touch them on the elbow, on the shoulder. This is a very effective way of building your own charisma while also exerting a subtle amount of influence on a person. So combining the gaze with the touch, right, touching someone on the knee when they said something particularly funny or giving that form of reinforcement is a great way of building your own charisma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that very, very much. Body posture means so much. And I'm just going to mention one. I think many people know about it, but I know that less than half of the people in the world know about it because they're always violating the rule or getting caught out or not noticing.
Mm-hmm.
When you cross your legs, one leg is over the other. One knee points to one person and the other knee is blocked or hidden. Watch when you see couples sitting. Do they block against each other or do they indicate each other? Is the free foot pointing toward the one they like? If you want to go into a sales situation, either sit with your legs not crossed at all, but if you cross them, be sure you cross them so that your free foot points to the person to whom you want to make the sale. It works every time. Even on people who know that it works, it still works. It's kind of one of those funny things. And I find it very interesting when people don't do that. And Papa Newt is mentioning in the chat room some of the ideas from neurolinguistic programming, which has some of these similar ideas, matching and pacing and mirroring and pacing and leading, he says. These are powerful tools. If you pace yourself to another person in a conversation, either the speed of speech, the level of vocabulary, the gestures, in other words, if someone, let's take an example of someone who doesn't do this. Bernie Sanders drives me freaking crazy. I love the guy.
Yes,
but he only has one kind of pacing and one kind of gesture, and it's this, of course, embarrassing to me as I'm Jewish. I'm going, oh, my God, he's so Jewish. He's doing this thing over and over and over and over again.
It is
and, you know, it just drives you crazy, right? But he cannot pace himself to his audience. He only knows how to do that thing with his hands that Jews do all the time, right? I'm not saying he should change. Love him just the way he is, but he's never going to change. But if you want to take advantage, you will learn to, not to be false, but to pace the speed of your breathing, the number of times your eyes shift or your head shifts. Just watch what the other people are doing, and you get in sync with them. Mm-hmm. Once you get in sync with them, you begin to pick up the speed and the gesture, and that's called leading. First you pace with them, then you lead. Once you lead, they will follow you. And yes, and Papa Newt is saying neuro-linguistic programming, NLP. Yeah. It's really, really true. So is the idea of anchoring, touching, and the gaze. Those all come out of there. And these are things which you can add to your repertoire of roots and herbs. In other words, remember we talk about putting a paper in someone's shoe, someone's name, you know, and we say, tap your foot, and you have them under your feet. Well, you want to do that as part of an interview. You want to do that in terms of, you know, getting paced with them, getting in sync with them as, you know, they're doing what you're doing what they're doing, and then you begin to tap your foot, and they will do what you want. It's just very simple hoodoo concept. It is, you know, Ollie, go ahead. You said this in the chat room. It's interesting how NLP and other methods borrow from older spiritual concepts but make them, quote, scientific. Unquote.
Oh, yeah.
Say a little
That's
bit
so
more about
true.
That.
I mean, what you're discussing right now is stuff that people learned from older traditions, right? The gaze, the touch. But now they're given, you know, these truths are kind of picked up by the various methods of psychology and whatnot, and they're given kind of scientific explanations. Like what they call anchoring, we just call touching someone with oil, right? Or fixing someone. It's a very old way of working hoodoo, and people in rural Virginia or in North, you know, Carolina knew how to do this stuff long before NLP. But it just goes to show you how effective they really are.
That's right. These are very effective techniques. All right. Well, thank you very much for this, and we probably will have more to say about some other time. But right now, we're going to go to a reading.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, Susan Barnes, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners who answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. All calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo form at form.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, I'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to the host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller, and we're actually going to go to the queue to take our first caller, who is calling in from area code 454 in Baltimore. 454, are you there?
443 is what he's saying now. 443 is Baltimore.
443. I am so sorry. My fault on that. So 443, are you there?
Nope. Baltimore is fogged in. Let's try Washington, D.C.
Certainly.
Let's try Washington, D.C.
in Washington, D.C.
My old stomping grounds.
Yes. 202?
Don't let me down, Washington, D.C.
202. Washington, D.C. Going once, going twice, going three times. My word, they're doing nothing in Baltimore and D.C. now. Shiva says, I heard her. Are you there, Baltimore or D.C.?
Can you hear me?
Ah,
I can hear.
You showed up.
Okay. I'm on the phone. Okay.
You're right. Yeah. Okay.
Are you Baltimore or D.C.?
D.C., baby.
There you go.
Okay. Are you dancing in the streets?
Practically, it's so hot, you can. Yes.
And what would you like to be called on the radio?
Well, you guys did a reading for me last year, which was awesome because some of the stuff came out. And now I'm wondering what's going on because apparently the guy that you said that was not going to work did not work out, but the brand new guy, you guys called him the dapper guy, and he actually showed up. But things have been kind of weird because I think he's bisexual or gay or whatever, and I'm trying to figure out. He's giving me mixed signals. He's blowing hot and cold. So I'm wondering, is this the guy?
All right. Now, could you refresh us as to what name you go under?
Ruby.
Ruby.
Yeah.
All righty. Now, for those who were not listening, we had said to you there was a guy who was the wrong guy, and we said he was going to work out, but the dapper guy would show up. And now the question is, the dapper guy may be of, you said bisexual. Now, does that bother you? Well, let me put it this way. I'm just going to say something blunt and flat out. Bisexuality is fine unless you want monogamy, because you can't be... You can't be monogamous and bisexual at the same time. You got to pick who you're with, whoever it is. Now, you can go for serial monogamy. But one of the things about bisexuality is not that it's difficult or wrong, but that it often comes attached to non-monogamy. In other words, it might as well be someone saying, I just like to cheat. So that's an important issue, and bisexual people get a bad rap for it because, you know, they do. They really do. And but, you know, there are bisexual people who can be as monogamous as anybody else, but if that relationship breaks up, they just have a wider choice. Okay?
True.
Miss Michael says, I've been bi and monogamous for many years. Of course, I admit that menopause helped. Miss Michael, that may be too much information. All right. So you want a little reading on the dapper guy, okay?
Yeah.
All righty, and I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Ruby, what is your sign of the zodiac?
I'm a Scorpio.
Scorpio. Mm-hmm. And... what is the dapper guy's sign of the zodiac?
Virgo.
I'm sorry, couldn't hear you?
A Virgo,
okay.
Interesting.
Well, that's an interesting one. Yeah, that's not a... That's a kind of an interesting one because Virgos tend to be a little bit more... I don't know how I'm going to say this without offending a bunch of Virgos. Virgos sometimes just don't move at the same speed that Scorpios do sexually.
Not at all.
No.
I was about to say that if anyone would satisfy someone who's bisexual, it would be a Scorpio.
That's true.
That's true. Well, a Scorpio can satisfy anyone sexually, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Are we right, honey?
Yes.
All right. All right. I have here an interesting card. I'm going to do three cards. And the thing that I'm seeing here is that you have more choices, possibly, than you think you have with this fellow here. I do see three people. And I have three cards, and in each card I have three people. So this is more, this is more possibly a question of a person who is really not interested in monogamy. Okay, so the first card I have is the Three of Coins. That shows a person building a church, and he has two companions. They're beneath him, and he's a stonemason, and he's carving. And this talks about a kind of a, you could call it a sacredness, or you could call it a going to work and doing what you're supposed to do. It's a card that says, there are people who will be of assistance to you. There are also things that you have to do where you kind of have to report back to other people. It says be careful, but basically if the relationship has with it any kind of spiritual energy, it's a good relationship. It literally can raise you up emotionally and can bring you to a higher state. It is not a relationship that will profit you financially at all. But that doesn't matter to most people. Most people, just that's just a bonus, you know.
Yeah.
So this is a very interesting card to me to have here. It does say that there's some sort of work that you may do with this person too, because there is a quality in this card that always indicates working for the higher good. Now, the next card is the Three of Cups. And this is three women dancing.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we have three.
You just said dancing. We're both dancers.
Wow.
Mm. You are. Oh, well, isn't that interesting? Okay, so this shows three people dancing. And it's kind of a gracious dance. It has a bit of an old classical look, like a ceremony of mm-hmm. the harvest. The three graces are facing each other. They each take a step inward and raise a golden goblet up, and they are very graceful. And the idea here is that, again, he may have another person. He definitely
yes.
may.
Yeah. Yes.
And but it doesn't look bad. I'm not going to throw on you, hey, have you considered a triadic relationship? But I bet someone in the chat room is probably, you know, out there thinking that. But this is a good card, and it shows three people as, again, a spiritual harvest festival is being shown, and it's a very, very nice card.
Mm-hmm.
The third card is a bit more ambiguous. And I said it had three people. It actually has six people and an angel. And the card is called the Judgment.
No.
And it's about a revolution in your life, something totally new happening. In the foreground are three people, a man, a woman, and a child coming out of a coffin, out of three separate coffins. And above them is the angel Gabriel. Way in the distance, there were three more people coming out of coffins, and this angel is overhead over our foreground trio. And so, again, this is an upward-looking card. The three are holding their hands upward and praising God, and the angel is blowing this trumpet. So now we have music. So we have dance and music and spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is, in all three cards, is looking upward. So I don't see anything bad here. Maybe an honest conversation would be called for, but you know, actually, these are darn good cards. The biggest change represented by them is the Judgment card, which we often say means a new start, something very different than what you expected. But it's always a card of hope and positive value. The angel and the church, which bracket these, definitely implies something spiritual, as does the harvest festival in the middle, which is more pagan. So we have a sort of a Christian framing or Jewish framing here, but we also have a pagan thing. Sort of like all, there's a religious aspect or a spiritual aspect to this relationship. I can't go much deeper into that in this amount of time, but it's a very interesting reading. So, Susan, what do you see?
Well, it's interesting that you say that. I got the Three of Cups, the first card.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. and so, the way I read it is that there's a lot of female energy around. There's fun, and they're getting along well, and there's a triad. There's three people involved. I think that you're very good looking people and you're extremely good looking. I get that feeling. And the other two people are good friends of yours. But the triad, I always think that is a spiritual thing as well. Every time I see a three, or if somebody is born on a third day or something like that. The next card I got was the Knight of Pentacles. And I feel like there is another guy, maybe was from your past, but I think he's going to come back, and he's someone who works hard. He's a knight. He's not married. He's never been married. Feels like dark hair, and he's going to be very determined to come and find you again, or to reconnect with you. The third card was the Knight of Cups, and this is the gentleman that I think you're involved with right now. The Knight of Cups, of course, is always a lot of fun. They love to wine and dine. They love to have fun. The problem that I have with the Knight of Cups is they really like to flirt a lot. And if you're somebody who likes to who doesn't like that, that might be a little bit of an issue for you. But this is kind of his personality. I think people like him. Like we talked about earlier, he has charisma from within. But being a Virgo, it's a female sign, and sometimes that's hard for a male. But I think he's going to do fine with it. I'm seeing a lot of options for you to go into this relationship, but I do see, you know, it's going to be fine, what Kat said, and I think it is a spiritual thing much more so than a marriage or a commitment, and that's what I think.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing this. I want to throw out a couple of ideas here that got put through in the peanut gallery. Candelo Kimbisa of Candelo's Corner Radio said she will be falling in love again, and that relates mm-hmm. to your second card. Mm-hmm. And Miss Michael said, hey, in Orthodox Christian belief, God is a triad, which is absolutely
Ooh.
True.
Mm-hmm.
So we hadn't even thought about that. You know, what we're seeing here is some sort of a relationship which has a transcendent level, but it may not be the ultimate relationship. But there's something going on here, very strong. The message is all out of proportion to the question. In other words, it's very deep on both of our readings. And Miss Michael said he might be one of those soulmates you aren't meant to marry. Okay, so there's something very deep here. Don't lose this friendship. That would, for sure, this is absolutely one of those things that goes beyond, you know, flirtation or a little bit of sex on the side. Okay,
right. I agree with Miss Kat, because I just got the serious chills on that. So I agree with what Miss Kat just said.
Yeah. Now let's turn this over to Conjurman Ali. How are we going to handle the possibly bisexual, possibly triadic deal that's developing here?
You know, I have a working for you to get kind of things on the table and have an honest discussion of where everything is going. But I want to say that with the cards that were pulled, it's undoubted that whatever relationship develops, it's going to be unorthodox. All of those cards indicate something out of the ordinary and transformative. So be open-minded and see where things head, if that's what you want. Remember, the cards can only tell you potential. At the end of the day, you have to decide whether you want it. So what I want you to do is do a scope kind of working on this person to get them to talk to you about this, right? To discuss their sexuality, what their intentions are, if they're serious, if they're not, if you're ready to move forward. To have an honest conversation. Where are things going? Are we meant to, you know, hook up and have a relationship or not? Or is this simply, you know, a passing attraction? So I want you to get a white skull candle, okay? I want you to baptize this or name it in this person's name. Then I want you to carve out the mouth. You can use a little knife. And you're going to stuff it with deer's tongue. You can use the wax, melting it back so that it has a deer's tongue there. Or you can use pins to hold the deer's tongue in the mouth. This is to get him to talk. Just talk eloquently, openly, and honestly. Mm-hmm. You can add a pinch of sugar into the deer's tongue as well to make him speak sweetly to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're then going to anoint this with clarity and come to me oil over 3 days as you speak to it. So you're going to go to the skull candle, and you're going to take these oils, pour it in your hand, and massage it gently into the skull candles, talking to him. So-and-so, you feel comfortable opening up to me. You're going to come and speak to me, and you're going to be honest, and we're going to have a serious conversation. And it's going to be uplifting and freeing for both of us. You're going to do this over 3 days. On the last day, you are going to set this up with a small incense burner. You can get these little miniature ones in front of it. You're going to put on that clarity incense. You're going to take a bay leaf. You're going to write the word truth on it, crumble it up and mix it into the incense. Light the candle, light the incense, and speak through the incense, letting your words blow the smoke onto the candle. Do this every hour while the sun is set, right? So you're going to go to it, speak for it a little bit, walk away. You're going to speak to it, walk away. Speak to it, walk away. And you're going to keep doing this until the candle burns down. So it's something that requires you to remain awake. So do it on a weekend or a day that you're off. Once it's burned down, you're going to take the used remains, just a little bit of it, and you're going to sprinkle it where he will walk through it. It can be near his home. It can be somewhere, you know, where you two meet. For example, if you go, if you're both dancers and there's a dance studio, you can put a little bit of the wax there. You can sprinkle it there, and the rest of it you can dispose of at the crossroads. Skull candles often leave quite a bit of wax. You don't need to put it all there. So that's what I would recommend, something to get conversation flowing between you, to get him to open up and tell you the truth, tell you about himself and what where things are headed, and then you can make your decision from there.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
You guys were on point because he is a dance teacher. He's got a lot of female energy around him. And I believe he's probably got some kind of relationship with another man. He's very good looking. Mm-hmm. And all the people around are very attractive. So you guys were pretty much on point with all that information.
Wow.
Good. Good.
Thank
well,
you.
That's good.
Yeah, the dancing, it's funny that both Susan and I both got the card of the dancer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really good. Now, I'm going to ask Ali a couple of questions about this. You said to anoint the skull for 3 days with clarity and something else, and I didn't hear what that other thing was.
Come to me, oil.
Come to me. Ah, okay. And that would be a good one. And I would also maybe say chuparosa, that's just me, because chuparosa is for honest, yeah, or
mm-hmm.
crucible of courage. But I don't think he's got a lack of courage, you know, but those are some of the other kinds of things you could do. All righty. And then as the candle continues to burn, because he said do this every hour, and I want to make clear, he does not mean blow the candle out and then do it again in an hour. The candle will be burning continually. You will be writing the word truth on a bay leaf, crumbling it up into incense every hour. Okay, is that correct? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you start at sundown. Was that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this may take a number of hours. Be patient, and that's what we're looking for. All righty. How about you, Susan? Do you have anything to add to this?
Well, I agree with what Candela said in the chat room. She is going to meet somebody, and this dude is coming in strong, and he's going to be very, very determined, and that's what I saw about this guy. And the energy is completely different from the one she's involved with right now, although the guy now is more spiritual, but the one she's going to meet is extremely masculine, and he is going to want her, desire her. And that's what I have to say. As Scorpio, she can handle it. They can handle anything.
That's right. Well, good luck to you, hon. And I'm glad we were so right on with the analysis of this situation. Good luck to you.
All right.
You're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, coming to you from all over the United States, wherever we are located. California, Oklahoma, and Nebraska. All right. And here's Papa Newt.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic tantra practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling from area code 770 in Georgia. This is Kita. Kita, are you there?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm fine.
Welcome to the show. And Kita, if you can give us three sentences of your situation you would like our host to take a look at.
My son's father and I are living together, and we don't get along. And right now I'm not working, But we have to move in January 27th, around that time. And I don't have a job right now. Me and him don't get along, and I don't want to live with him. And I need my own place. So it's like basically what I'm asking is either, you know, will I find something for me and my kids in a nice, safe area, or will I find a job soon that pays enough for me to, you know, have my own, basically.
All right, Keita. And I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions before I turn you over to Ali for the reading. Are you looking actively looking for work?
I am.
Okay. And if that's okay. And then what sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm Aquarius.
Aquarius. All right. And what field do you work in?
Well, the field I have worked in is customer service, restaurant, retail.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that.
All right. Restaurants and retail. That's good. That's good work.
And
all right.
Bakery. I have done warehouse too.
Okay. And warehousing too. Okay. All righty. So I'm going to turn this over to Ali. Maybe he has some more questions, but he'll do the first reading.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Kat. Well, I've pulled three cards here, and I'm going to read them for you. I will say that Aquarius is one of the characteristics is that they do have some difficulties finding, you know, what they're going to do in life. It's a sign that's ruled by Saturn traditionally, and so they can, you know, face quite a bit of difficulties when it comes to job and relationships. It's one of those signs that I call restricted. Most of the Aquariuses I know often find careers late in life, and they often marry late in life as well. So something to bear in mind that this is, you know, part and characteristic of something you might be facing continuously. So you might want to take certain action to address that. The first card that I have here is the Fool. The Fool shows us an individual with their head in the clouds. They have their arms wide open, and they're about to walk off of a cliff. And there's a little dog known as the Dog of Reason that is barking, warning this person, hey, you're about to take the plunge. And this tells me that you have, you know, some good goals in mind, but you may not be aware of your surroundings. There are opportunities available that you may not be seeing right now. There are certain things in your circumstances that you have been unable to identify and recognize properly. So you need to be aware of that. Get your head back into the game. You want to look and reassess the circumstances around you. Evaluate if there are opportunities and assistance available. There may be someone who's offering a job or a friend of a friend who may have something in an opening or an opportunity for you. So the Fool card is a card of warning. It's a card of saying, oh, hold on just a moment. The next card that I have here is the Seven of Wands. Seven of Wands shows us an individual who is fighting off these attackers that are attacking from below. It is not a card of victory nor a card of defeat, but a card of the standstill. And this tells me that, no, moving is not in the cards for you at the moment. I don't see you moving out anytime soon, or successfully, I should say. Any attempt that you do so will be met with some serious opposition and difficulty, and you're going to have to come to terms that there are some blockages in your way. Now, the good news is, however, that things will turn around, but in the career and job front, not necessarily the moving front. And that is what I see in the final card, which is the Ace of Wands. The Ace of Wands shows to us a divine hand reaching out of a cloud with the staff. It's often known as the Rod of Aaron, the Rod of the Assistant. And it is a card that tells us that, yeah, you're going to find a job. It's going to be soon, probably in the beginning of the year. No later than around late February is when you'll find this job. It will be good. It will help you prosper. It will be the beginning, though. So it's going to allow you to start to put the seed down for your chance to move, for your opportunity to turn your life around and get away from the father of your child. So things are going to look up and they're going to turn around, but it's going to come first with you being patient, finding that job, and then building your success little by little. I don't see you moving anytime soon within the next few months. So the job comes first, and even once you got the job, the move may not come for a little while later. I do see that this job is likely going to be in something more physical. So it may be a little bit more physical than you're used to. It's not going to be customer service. It's going to be something that requires a little bit of manual work. It may be in a department. It may be in retail still, but it involves movement and action. And that's what I see in my cards.
Okay. And I'm going to say something, too. There is a warning card there, and I know that Ollie was trying to be as gracious as he could about it, but the Fool means don't make foolish mistakes. And if you are living with this, your child's father, and you should not be, you may have been warned about this in the past. There may be something else going on here that needs to be dealt with, because that card can lead to difficulties. Just going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm not saying that there's a danger there, but it is a card of warning, and we don't pass by it lightly. You know, on the radio, sometimes we try to be light touch, but that is a card of warning for the first card. Okay.
It is very
Having
much.
Said that, let me turn this over to Susan.
Well, first of all, I want to say hi. I love Aquarians. It's one of my favorite signs because you guys are just, you're always on top of everything. The first card I got was a Three of Rods, Three of Wands, and it means that somebody is turning their back on a situation. They're looking to the future for better things, which is what has been mentioned. Decisions will be made, and the family, you're going to stick with the family. You're looking at a problem, I think, which is so Aquarian, like with a detachment. And I would like for you to get more into really realizing what's going on and being a little more practical, writing things down like pros and cons. You're dealing with property decisions right now, decisions about the house, but I don't see you moving, just like what Ollie said. It's going to be a long-term situation where you're staying where you're at, and you're not going to find a new place for quite a while. Your back seems to be turned on things that somebody has done to you that they probably shouldn't have gotten away with. And I think you need to be a little bit more less detached and maybe call this person out on what they're doing and then let it go. And then go toward your future endeavors, which is what Ali said, going into a job. Then I got the Knight of Swords, and that means that's the caution card. It's stay alert, pay attention. Don't dilly-dally. If you're looking for a job, I'd like for you to look for one every single day and go out there and just get a job. I don't care what it is, but I think it's going to help your self-esteem because your self-worth right now seems a little bit low, and I'd like for you to get it way back up because Aquarians need to have a high self-worth. I mean, you're born with it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has dragged you down. You need to bring yourself right back up, and I know you can do this. You also got the Eight of Cups. This is a really cool card. Because it tells me that you know what you need to do. You're leaving an attachment. I'd like for you to focus on the spiritual side and on your heart, not the physical stuff, not the BS that you've been putting up with. I do see somebody who's shirking his duties. They're not maybe taking care of you the way that they should be, and they're just not going to do it. So I want you to, or I'd like to see you go more into the spiritual insight, because when Aquarians go into spiritual insights and they get more with the spirituality, that's when the answer hits them. And I think Ali said that too earlier, that it's going to come and hit you from above. And when this card shows up, it tells me that you're dissatisfied with your current situation. But you're going to start to put things in order with the past, and the good news is you are going to move on. But I do want to see you go into a job, and I don't care if you like it or not. Just get the darn job and get it done, because you're going to meet somebody that is going to help you, and they're going to. I see them with a hand coming out, and they're extending their hand, and you are going to grab that hand and pull yourself up out of this stuff that you've been into that somebody else has put upon you. This is not your stuff. This is somebody else's stuff. But you can get out of it, honey. And that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. This is a very interesting set of readings, and I'm going to throw some root work in, but I'm going to say something here about what these cards have meant to me. You have a great deal of talent, but it may not lie in being in retail or warehousing. And the person that you're with is not for the best for you, but you knew that already. So you may need to come up with some alternative plans here until you find a place to land. And I'm concerned because you don't want to be, you know, running around disorganized. The Knight of Swords says you may try different paths and may not organize your efforts. Okay? So I really want to make sure that you, are safe. But I also really like what Susan said, that you do some work every day to get a job, any job first. But I don't predict that as an Aquarius, you'll stay in, you know, fast food service or a bakery or shifting boxes around for Walmart. I think you have a bit more personal charisma, we were talking about. And Candela put a note here. She needs to work her ancestor. She's a born witch. Mm-hmm. And I concur with that. Mm-hmm. You have a little bit more going on than you might have told us. Now, let me give you some ideas of some root work. Number one, if I want to recommend to a woman that she's going to have to leave a home where she's financially dependent, the first thing is you want to be setting money aside. Now, that's just regular old social knowledge. That is not hoodoo. But you got to start putting money aside. Well, how do you do it? You got to start abstracting the money from the common pot, and you do that in a way that it is invisible and can't be seen. So when you put money aside, you're going to do it in dribs and drabs, dollars and cents. And whatever you do, you're going to have to physically hide it, and you're going to have to physically put it somewhere where it will not be caught out again. And I recommend this to you both spiritually and socially. Okay? I have told ladies, you know, what their number is. You need 2,000. You need 10,000. I don't know what your number is. I'm not getting that. But I would love to see you start to put aside a pile. If you have someone you can trust where to store that money, that's good. If it's going to be a safe deposit box, if it's going to be a coffee can in the woodshed, be careful, okay? But you need to have actual money set aside, and that's real important, okay? And all change, all everything. Dress that money with just a, you know, a little bit of protection oil, or dress the can you keep it in. You really are going to need something to get that money put aside. Now, when you do that, I want you to pray over it, that it be for your prosperity in the future. Now, the other thing I want you to do is to do something to sever yourself from this man. Mm-hmm. And a simple a trick, you know, writing your two names back to back so they don't touch each other, cut them apart or tear them apart. I like to use those zigzag pinking shears. And just burn his name up and let the ashes just fly into the air. Just throw them outdoors. Just poof, there they go. And you want to say to him, I need you to get out of my life. I need you to be gone. And you can do that repeatedly. Eventually he will let you go. He will get out of your life. And it's a simple spell, and I know a lot of people who've done it. Another thing you can do, of course, with your name, once you have your name, you're going to keep that by you. And the name of your child, you would also write on your piece of paper. Let us be safe. Let us be together. Put that in a little flat packet you can keep. But I would like to get you to at least three times remove the name of this man from you. You don't have to do harsh work. You do rely on him right now a little bit financially. And one of the things that you can do as a spell is to, because you are going to want some money from him, is to get a picture of him and the child and cut it apart and put a dollar bill behind it in such a way that he is connected to the child, but you see the dollar bill. I like to see George Washington right there between the two faces, and you tell him, you can come unto this child, but you have to come with money in hand. Okay, that's a really a good way to work, and keep a man to help you financially. Now, I'm going to also ask, in a practical sense, do you have a friend where you can go to their house? Is there anybody you can go to?
I am dating somebody, and he told me that I could come to his house, but I don't know, like, how, you know, is that a good idea for me and my kids?
All right. Well, now, what I would ask you to do is get another reader to ask you, because you did not ask us about this other fellow. And it's interesting because Susan had two different nights. Remember that? And I'm feeling also that there is something here. This other person, I don't want you to jump from the frying pan into the fire, but this other person should have a reading done on. And I would say that that may be a solution that was going to help. But you got to get a little stash of money. And I got to say, that money that you get, it needs to be symbolic.
I have money coming in from a settlement. So,
oh, good.
You know, that should be coming in the next, 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks, around
all
the
right.
time that he's
right.
supposed to be moving.
All righty.
So,
well, then that's good. That's really, really good, because you can't leave without that money. And all right, hon. Well, I'm going to ask for any other add-ons or thoughts from Susan or from Ollie as far as spell work.
I'd just like to see her maybe change her language a little bit, her self-talk, because I think
yes.
maybe she talks negatively about herself and, you know, like start putting yourself up instead of, like, putting yourself down, you know, instead of saying, well, I'll be damned. Well, that's a curse. You know, you don't want to curse yourself. So use positive language about you and I'm getting myself out of here. I see myself. I am out of here, that kind of thing. So always use positive language, because you're a very verbal person, I feel like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd like to add,
You know, go ahead, Ollie. Give your little moment.
Just real briefly, is a crystal sign league where you can put in a prayer. To help kind of ameliorate. You need some people to support you in this. You do have a lot of untapped power, but help is needed. So put your prayer in with Crystal Silence League, asking for wealth and prosperity to find a good job and be able to move out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Readings by Evan, you got it, Readings by Evan. You just jumped on what I was going to say. He said create a visual representation of your goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just going to say that you want some kind of a map of where you want to go to. And if it just something that is visual that you can really cling to and get to it. If necessary, take some of the coins, put them where you want to go. Say, I want to move over to such and such a suburb or such and such a town. Go there and drop a coin. I'm coming to get this. This is where I'm going to be. In other words, we want to see you do some positive things about the move. Be careful, though. Be very careful. Miss Michael says, eat something sweet each day, saying, Song of Solomon 4:7, I am all fair. There is no fault in me.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Very, very good one. All righty. And all righty. Well, that's it for our readings for the day and for this week. But thank you very much for calling. Call back again, and we'll work some more on your situation because I think there's more that needs to be done. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All righty. We'll turn this over to our announcement team.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Kanjaman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Candelo's Corner, starring Candelo Cambisa, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. On Sacred Ground with Kaya Mon, Wednesdays 5 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
And now it's time for our free spell from Susan Barnes of SusanBarnesAuthor.com in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Take it away, Miss Susan.
Thank you, Nathan. This is a paint spell, and it's for just get a little can of paint, from the hardware store or wherever you want to buy paint. And if you have a friend who's feeling a little bit down or sad, you can make them a tricked gift for healing. Number one, you're going to need a small wooden unpainted box. You can buy one or make one. Number two, buy a small container of paint in a happy color like yellow or white. Candelo likes light colors. I know he's always telling me quit wearing black, wear white. Whatever the person's favorite color may be. Number three, put a few drops of healing oil into the paint and a drop or two of road opener oil. Number four, as you're mixing the paint, say a prayer for your friend and say this prayer over and over again as you mix the paint. Number five, when you paint the box, picture your friend as happy, healthy, and feeling loved. Number six, let it dry. Put some charms in the box, like a cross if they're a Christian, whatever their religion is, or hearts, a little puppy or something, anything that symbolizes healing and happiness for your friend. And that's my free spell.
Wow. Wow. Okay. I'm gonna just, I love this one, and I have done this one.
And
in fact, I'm going to tell you that that is, in essence, the very first spell I ever did for pay was that spell. But instead of paint, I used varnish on a raw wood. And I sanded the wood, too. And as I sanded it, I smoothed away all difficulties. And I just kept on sanding that wood till it was just as smooth as smooth. And I put some love materials into the varnish, same kind of thing, and varnished it. I filled it with little charms, same kind of thing. I also wrote inside the box, and I'm going to tell you this just from my own little secrets.
Mm-hmm.
I lined the box with a beautiful antique brocade silk fabric from China, just lovely cloth. But before I did that, I wrote all inside the box, all the words, right? And then I glued that cloth in so it looked just like a fabulous little jewelry box, right?
Wow.
Cloth-lined jewelry box. It was very successful. I can tell you the story about it in private someday. It's rather humorously successful. But I have done this many times and more than once. So now the question is, what kind of charms and how do you dress them? Well, like Susan just said, a heart is always good for someone who is depressed. Give them a nice quartz heart for healing. A nice rose quartz heart is always appreciated. Make sure that the charms fit the box nicely. You can do it with multiple charms or one big one. It's a fantastic spell, and thank you so much for mentioning this. And I'm going to go one step further. I know you're just going to, I'm just running away with this. You can also use the oils in paint, just saying, you can also use the oils in paint to paint a room. And if you use a water-based paint, you can use the little bit of the bath crystals dissolved in water. Okay, look at the kind of paint you got, whether it's oil-based or water-based. This is fantastic work. I've used it so often. One of my favorites.
It's a great spell.
I'll tell you another one. You know what they call sponging, that sponge technique where you make the little apple-y things?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can write on the sponge, right on the sponge, and then use the sponge to dapple things.
Oh, wow.
You won't see it, right? Okay,
you can also
dissolve
things in water or in paint and add that onto whatever you're using.
Yeah, absolutely. And the charms that are for happiness and for blessing, you know, when you select them, select what they like. Don't just impose your will on them. Oh, and another thing you can do with paint. Okay, you mentioned a cheerful color, and I'm going to tell you, if you have any artistic sense, you can make every paint. Get those little, those little hobby paints. Every paint would have a different meaning and color, right?
Right.
And you can put that little flower on with the red paint and the little rose and the little green leaves and the little yellow sky. You can do a lot of thoughtful work if you have the artistic talent.
You know, this really speaks to the type of, you know, what root work is at its spirit. It's putting your heart and soul into something. something, right? And working on it. It's very tactile. And it's fantastic that a lot of, you know, people work with candles and prayers. And it is. There's a lot of effectiveness there. But there's something about working on something with your hands, right? And dusting with powders or putting oil in it or using certain paints with prayers. And when you were talking about smoothing things over, Kat, by sanding it, I just thought to myself, like, that's such a tourist thing to do. How fantastic, how fantastic a way of working, though, right? You're working an actual physical effort. Speaking of physical gestures, as you were earlier in the show, right? You're making a physical gesture of smoothing out, but you're doing it with intention and with prayer. And that is so beautiful. And then this is something that you give to someone. Really the essence of beautiful, tricked work that someone puts into their home or puts near them. I love it. I think it's fantastic.
I gotta give you another one. So you know you can take coins, and if you arrange them, you'll make a perfect little hexagon. If you can find a little box, you know, I can't tell you where to get one, but I have done this in the past where I found a little box that a hexagon of coins just fit into it, and little coin. It just so happened it was pennies, and I lined an entire little hexagon box with coins. Just completely lined it with coins, and then I put a little lodestone in it. Well, it was a fairly medium-sized, bigger-sized lodestone, and gave it as a gift. This is your little money box. It's like a mirror box, but it's completely lined with coins, top and bottom, inside. And there, it's just, you know, on the outside, just a cute little box. So box magic. I love box magic. I'm just totally, totally into it. I mean, I could just, I could go on and on and on.
I used to collect those for specific you know, ideas. So like if you wanted to help someone with their finances, you can make a little homemade piggy bank with the coins like you mentioned. Or if you wanted to make something for love, putting in their photos of a happy couple.
I just got to throw out tongue oil. Tongue oil is a really good finish. You put on coat after coat after coat, and it builds up a kind of a finish on wood. And will tongue oil, again, each time you rub it in, you're going to be rubbing in, and you can, of course, add your anointed spiritual oils to the tongue oil. Fantastic stuff. No, it is not a tongue like in your mouth. It is tongue like from the tongue tree. Okay? All right. Well, thank you. You just hit on one that just, I mean, I could write a whole book on handicrafts. I don't know.
Well, thank you
so much, Susan. A spell
thank you, Ms.
much
Kat.
After my own heart. And really a helpful spell to a depressed person.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to turn this over to Papa Newt, and we'll see what he has to say.
Thank you, Ms. Kat and Concert Man Ali. And thank you, Susan Barnes of SusanBarnesAuthor.com in Tulsa, Oklahoma, for being our guest this week. And we do invite you to join us next week when we'll have another special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, who will be Candelo Cambisa of Cambisa.org in West Palm Beach, Florida, bringing us the topic, The Three Kings. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forums.luckymojo.com and Conjure Man Ali at conjuremanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Denver, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt. And thank you so much, Susan, for being a guest. Now, folks, if you like the way Susan teaches and the way she works, she's going to be out at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival May 14th and 15th, and she's going to be presenting a workshop. So come on out for that, May 14th and 15th. Tickets are on sale now, and learn more from Susan Barnes. Good night, honey. It's just
Good
lovely
night.
To have you here.
Thank you, Ms. Kat. Thank you, Conjure Man Ali.
And Ali, again, thank you so much for all of your help and all of your wonderful magic.
Oh, it's a pleasure being on the show.
All right. Well, we will be here again next week. In the meantime, go over to the Lucky Mojo Forum and sign up for next week's show. All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, all.